All right, good evening. This is Julie Singwald, School Board Chair. I am introducing the special school board meeting on Monday, July 20th at 5:30 p.m. Members that are present are the full board, so we have Board Member Carrero, Board Member Sasser, Board Member Lee, myself, Board Member Cordes, Board Member Beam, our superintendent, some of our district administration, and some members of the media present. The agenda was amended to have a discussion regarding an audio recording of this meeting. Those are the only items that have been moved forward at this point. And so at this point, we're going to move on in our agenda for this evening. Item 5 on our agenda is public comment, and at this time we have no items for public comment. And so the next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. The consent agenda is made up of routine business items that can be acted upon in a single motion. If any board member wishes to pull one of these items, they can request to do so. Are there any items that a board member wishes to discuss? Hearing none, I will take a motion then.
I'll make a motion to approve the above consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion by Lee, a second by Cordes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. All right, we will move on to administrative action. We have one item on the administrative action, and that's the resolution relating to the possible bond and levy referendum. And I will turn it over to Superintendent Haugen.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Madam Chair, members of the board, and our staff and audience here tonight. I'll just really quickly, I'll go through the PowerPoint, but I won't go through it slide by slide. I'll just kind of tell the story of where we're at and then turn it over, hopefully in 5 minutes or so, to all of you. So first, again, we're here to bring to a conclusion a very long conversation about presenting to our voters an operating referendum and a facilities bond levy. You know, the reasons for those, we've talked about numerous times that when it comes to our operating levy, we get all those monies in our general fund from the state, and they really have not kept up with inflation for many years. And we are really at the point where we've made all the cuts we can make, as you know. And at this point, you know, about our only solution is to really ask for additional revenue or make cuts that really are deleterious to our program. The second part is facilities. Now, facilities, the underfunding of education is fairly recent. I mean, it's ongoing, it's been more than 10 years. But facilities, when it comes to keeping up the major portion of facilities, we've never received those dollars from the state. It's not that they haven't kept up. They only ever allow us enough money for the basics of keeping up a school. If there's a roof or a parking lot or a new boiler, those sort of things need to happen, we've traditionally had to go to our voters. And so that's really what this is about. And so starting with that one, when I take a look at the graph, the graphic of all the things we're looking to do, the question is, are these must-haves? You just really need to know that we went through long lists of things that we've been told we should do and cut it down to the things we absolutely think we must do. These are the things we believe that in the next few years, whether we pass this or not, we will be fixing these things. We will be fixing roofs. We will be changing out boilers. We will be. We have parking lots and things that at some point we won't be safe to drive in or walk in. And so those things will be done. Either we pass a bond or we borrow the money and pay from the general fund. Because the general fund, which pays for teachers and classrooms and things for students, that's also the payer of last resort in school districts. Anything can come out of there. And if you have something that you must do that there's no funding for, it'll come from the general fund. And so we are asking for the $45,320,000 as must-haves with two caveats. You know, when I look at safety and security, I mean, that's something that most people would probably say is a must-have, but it's not like something dire is going, well, it might. I don't even know how to say it. I mean, it's something that we really believe we should do. But, you know, life would go on if we didn't do it. We would just have our buildings would be less safe. And in this day and age, I think that's a minimum expectation that people really feel safe when they come in the building. And that's really what that does. And then the other one is elementary classrooms. You know, again, that is something We now have students in all of our schools attending school, kindergartners, but they're not in elementary classrooms. And our schools are much fuller than we had projected they would be, because now we had to set aside at least two, if not more, classrooms in every school for this kind of, for elementary programming after the law change. So those are maybe the two things that that on one hand are must-dos, but in some ways you almost can't imagine our programming in this day and age without it. And you can, the estimated impact again is $867 a month on $225,000 home, which is $104 annually. And again, if it fails, it's really going to affect the educational program if we don't pass this, because these things will have to get fixed and we will have to pay for them sometime in the years to come. So moving on real quick to the operating funds. Again, we show you over and over again that graph in our community, that graph of how we have real inflation. It's a real number, and it just has not kept up with our cost increases. A lot of debate over those cost increases at all levels, but you know, inflation is a real concept. We feel it. We don't set it. We don't, you know, it really is something that that you can't dodge. Our there's been a question whether we could maybe change our inflation factor. I just have to say that, I mean, that's the kind of thing budgetarily that people get in trouble for, because they say something that's not true. They project a lower inflation to make the books look good, and then years down the road you need to answer why this didn't work out. So we've done a good job for a long time of being within a 1% every year of really, you know, our budget, and that's because we really try to bring you the right stuff. And I think our projections for that and revenue are really the best that we can have right at this point. You know, the class size, and that we do have large class size compared just about anybody else. And you also know that we spend the vast majority of our dollars in the classroom. This school district's particularly good at that. And so any cuts really at this point are going to affect the classroom. So really, after the last board meeting, we went back to try to bring you something that was more palatable, something that, you know, so we bent over backwards to take a look at different options. And one of them was this idea then of breaking up one question into two. $433 is the amount we need where that would set us on kind of a long-term path where I think we can balance our budget for at least the foreseeable future. $285 per pupil is a number that if we make no changes to our school district, if we don't make any changes to class size or bring anything that improves class size at all, if you look at the graph of what happens, it balances our budget for 2 years. 2 years after these dollars come in. Because remember, they're not here for next year. We have a balanced budget audit for next year. They come in, so the year after that and the year after that, it balances our budget. And we already have $1 million hole, you know, in year three. Now, we're hoping with that 285 number that if that was what was passed, that we could work legislatively and maybe get more dollars somehow, some way, because that's the thing that we maybe feel, if we have any control, it'd be over that. But that is also a bit of a dream. And so that's the reason we had felt it was really important that you had the second question, the one that would bring in the additional $148 that allow us to make some improvements right now. And if we made those improvements to our class size of one, it would get so that in we could still balance our budget for those 2 years. But again, in year three, when these dollars come in, we have a significant, nearly $1 million budget deficit. We have $1 million budget deficit, having added $800,000. So if nothing changes, that one does give us more breathing room, because if nothing changes, we could turn the clock back as well when it came to class size. So we've also made some investments. So in the end, well, And so one of the questions that always gets asked, and I appeared in our survey, our community didn't care about this as much as we would like, but what happens to our, where are we in relation to other school districts? And it is interesting that even if we, our community was able to pass the $433, still in our comparison group, there are only four districts that have less and seven districts that have more. So we are never going to even get in the top half. We're not even really near half. We're in the lower third of school districts. And so this is not something where we're asking for the moon. We are asking for something that will really allow us to continue on as a school district. The impact of all of these questions is $23.92 a month on a $225,000 home. And so our recommendation we gave you last week is we really need the 433, but if it feels better to ask our community for the 148, we could ask it in two questions. We are strongly supporting, you know, or recommending the full $45 million for our facilities. But I also just wanted to let you know, I also brought the paperwork in case you really thought you wanted to keep this clean for $433, the same paperwork we had last week.
Monday.
I do have that here as well for the $433 as one question, which remember that also maximizes the input from the state in all of this. And then the $45 million. So if you wanted to do that as well, so I hope that wasn't too long. But that's really it. This really is a uniquely board question. We'll bring you all kinds of stuff, any one thing you want to talk about. But I got to tell you also, every more week we do this. Not only does it shorten our time before the election, but also we've just spent another week where this is our focus. And at some point we've got to move on with some other things that are pressing as well. So. With that, turn it over to you.
So I have the feeling that everybody has comments and questions. So if you're comfortable with it, I'd like to just go through everybody at the board. And if you have questions that relate, then we'll go. I think you can add on to that. Is everybody comfortable with that format for tonight? We have 45 minutes, so I want to be respectful of time. The meeting starts at 7 with the city.
7 with the city.
So,
okay. Yeah.
I'd like to have this meeting completed at 6:30 so we have ample time to get over and settled.
Yeah.
So Board Member Beam, if you are comfortable starting.
Sure. So last week, I was thinking about what had the highest chance of passing, and I was at the 285 number. And I was one of the people that wanted more time, and so I went out and surveyed people, but that's just anecdotal information. But the first feedback and the first group of people I talked to was that they would rather pay the $433 amount and have a longer-term solution. And it was kind of like, I'll reluctantly pay that amount if that just gets you out of my hair for a longer period of time. And so I got to thinking about that, and you know, the $433 maximizes the state funding. I think we heard, you know, I heard from people, and I think we heard at the round tables, and I think that the feedback was that we can't keep going through this cutting, you know, every few years, and we need to be more planful and mindful of how we do this and look for longer-term solutions. So I think that that is a better longer-term solution. May not be ideal, but there's other factors that come into play. You know, we're a growing district. We have potentially more funding coming from that. I think that solution only gave us, you know, technically on the numbers 4 or 5 years or 3 or 4 years or whatever it was. But you know, we're a growing district. We have more money coming in. Potentially there's more funding coming from the state. I think they're feeling the pressure as school districts are kind of giving their feedback on what we got this year. So I think there's other things that could be positive influences in that number that could be negative as well. But I think that we heard from the community input meetings that people want to keep fifth grade band. They want to keep athletics. They don't want costs going through the user fees going through the roof. You know, and like I say, trying to think about the survey information, I think the survey said, you know, we can pass a facilities levy, and that we could pass a levy at a lower amount. But you know, considering that there's some interest in a levy, and that the levy that makes more sense is the 433, that's where I am at today. And I think, you know, earlier in the week when the two questions came out, I thought, oh, what a great solution. But the more I thought about it, I think that just confuses voters. You know, you're almost pushing them into the lower number by having the two questions. I think the one question is more simple. And I think that if we ask the one question at 433, if it passes, great. We know what we need to do. We still need to be diligent about costs. We need to make that last as long as we can. We need to continue to look for strategies to improve our expenses and things like that. But that's our marching orders. If it doesn't pass, then we have a different set of marching orders, and we need to do things to drastically reduce the costs in the district. But I think the 433 number, if it passes, it's the smartest solution. If it doesn't, then it allows the voters to tell us, we can't afford 433, figure it out. And, you know, so that's where I'm at right now. And I think, you know, I think the other thing is, you know, like I say, the survey came and I think there's interest in helping the schools. I think part of it's a sales job. I think in talking to these people this week after that first group kind of said, I would reluctantly pay the higher amount, as I suggested that to people, they're like, yeah, $60 on a $200,000 house, I can afford the $60. I don't really want to, but if that's what makes sense, that's what I'll do. So, like I say, that's where I'm at.
So, again, this weekend, much like board member Beam, I was able to speak to some community members about this, and again, it's anecdotal evidence, so it's not the best. But the one thing I heard was the facilities piece, the $45 million, is essentially a no-brainer. I think we all came out of the last meeting feeling that, most of us, I should say, came out of the last meeting feeling that the bonds is, we should set it at the $45 million, and that's what I heard in the community. Then going to the per-pupil levy part, mentioning the third question was added, there were some people who mentioned that's kind of getting greedy. They weren't opposed to it completely. You know, after doing some educating, they might consider voting for it, but they said, well, the adding that third question for the 148 is kind of getting greedy. And the only thing I do enjoy that we did put the third question on there as an option, but will that endanger question two? Is my only concern. If we as a board are willing to gamble, I'd say go forward with the 433. If we want to play it safe, I think 285 is the best.
Member Carroll.
I also went out and got research just like both of you and talked to many people this weekend. And, you know, like both board member Cordes and board member Beam stated, you know, it's mixed out there. With the survey, we knew, including technology, that the public was willing to spend about $15 a month. That's kind of where I keep hearing. We take technology out, I think it brings it down to about $11 a month. I do agree with board member Beam, the biggest bang for your buck is $433. I feel more comfortable with the $285 just talking with people in the public. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do not have jobs right now. And I'm struggling with it. We're looking for the best interest of the district. I think with 285, we could still hold those parameters and make it work. We're still going to have to look under, you know, the rocks, like we said last meeting as well. So kind of that's where I'm at with that. And I appreciate the third option. I just, you know, to board member Cordes' comment, you know, I kept hearing we were a little greedy on that. And, you know, I think it was a very good other option out there. I don't think it was greedy. But people take their own interpretation. I think we'd have to get that off and have it, the facilities and the operating. From what I'm understanding, that it's more the 285 part, the facilities. I wasn't surprised people were okay with that. So that's where I stand on that right now.
Member Sasse.
Well, I like to look at them separately. Looking at the facilities, it makes perfect sense. I think it's easy to explain to the community that we've got leaky roofs. We don't want a boiler to go out in the middle of January. We don't want kids to freeze in the buildings. We know that there's been interest to provide extra security to our buildings. And we know that we have kindergarten space. I think that's an argument that everyone can understand. Those are basic needs that we need to supply. I, again, as everyone else, did talk to as many people as I could. And also did some research myself. And some of the research that I looked into was I noticed that the new development in Farmington starts about the 325 range. So I also was looking at those numbers because that would be the impact of anyone that decides to come into Farmington, what their taxes will look like here. We are the highest tax community in Dakota County. I've compared it across. It's hard to explain that. We have a different tax base in Farmington, but it's something that's definitely weighing heavily on my shoulders making this decision today. I've heard from many people all across the gambit, people that want us to put on the ballot them aside. I've heard from people who are out of work or on fixed incomes, love Farmington, but have seriously considered leaving Farmington because of the tax rate here. That's something that's weighing very heavily on my decision tonight. To be honest with you, I'm grateful for all the work that the district has done, but I really, really have a hard time saying that 3 to 4 years is a long time sustainable solution. And that's kind of where I'm at. The operating levy is really hard for me to buy right now.
So just so I'm clear, so you're proposing that even going out for an operating levy?
The other piece of that where I'm struggling with is in the budget meetings this last year, some of the discussion was go back and lobby the legislator and ask for more money. We got 2% increase to the formula last year. The most increase we've seen in over 10 years from the state. We did get a lot of work done legislatively. And those 2% does go to our operational needs and not to the facility needs. I think there are a lot of messages that the community is going to be here that's going to be difficult to swallow buying the operational levy. And I'm hearing those concerns and understanding and feeling them as well.
Yes, so several things. The 2% doesn't dig us out of the hole over the last 10 years. And I feel that you know that as a board member, and it's our job to help everybody else understand that. I completely agree with board member Beam in that this is something that is the biggest bang for our buck, and if we're going to be responsible long-term, I mean, we have been for 4 years talking to the administration about trying to plan long-term to help us not be playing catch-up all the time. And we're not going to impose this on anyone. They get to choose. Our community did not want fifth grade band cut. They did not want sports cut. They did not want class sizes raised. They were very passionate about that. We all have spheres of influence in this community, and that is all anecdotal. That was the purpose of the meetings and the survey, to get more of a broad view. And they valued class sizes. They valued our teachers. They showed us what they value the most. And I think that if we can stop having the discussion among ourselves and let everyone be free to go out into the community and start having this conversation and educating them about inflation, about 10 years of getting in the hole, about the long-term solution, about the biggest bang for a buck, about what our priorities are, which are the students in the classroom, and let them decide. Like Laura said, they'll be sending us the message. These are your parameters. This is your mandate. Do what you can do with what we give you, and they'll give it to us. They'll give to us what they want us to do. And if they say no, that's too much, I can't afford it, I'm on fixed income. If they say no and the answer is no, then we can say this, okay, we hear you. Your priority is your monthly income. This is it, not that you don't care about the kids, but this is just what you can do, and we understand. And we'll, but that is going to mean some cuts. We gotta let the community decide. And I just think that looking at our finances out, I just keep want to reiterate how much I agree with every single thing that came out of Board Member Beam's mouth. This is something we are elected to do the best things that we can for the school district and for the students in all of the classrooms. And we have knowledge and information about the situation that everybody out there does not have yet. And so we have to say, this is our situation, this is our budget, what can we do to help it for the longest time possible? And I think we continue to lobby, and we continue to do all those things, but this is just something else that we just need right now. And again, if the answer is no, then we got to change our plan. So, but I think it's time to make a decision and move forward so that we can get out there and start talking to everyone.
There were some concerns raised before the meeting regarding wanting to vote on these items individually and whatnot. And I definitely hear what people are saying. I think my biggest concern moving forward is I would like us to have a long-term solution so we are not having to go back. But my biggest concern is the fact that we are giving a extended mixed message to the public about what we as a board are supporting. It came back in the communications audit from Barb Nichols, all of that, that this board needs to be unanimous in the decision and whatever it is. At first light in listening to the decision or the discussion so far, I'm concerned about even moving forward with a levy at this point with what appears to me as a pretty divided board. I'm hearing 285 from some people that are pretty set. I hear 433 from others. My concern is if we vote on this independently and there's dissenting votes individually at amounts, what message are we really delivering to the public? If the board cannot come to a consensus at this point, is now the right time to do this? Or does the board make the decision that although they've given us this information, we feel that we are not in consensus and don't feel comfortable going to the public and even asking for these dollars? I personally feel like having been on the board for a while, the district has done what we have mandated to them to do. We have some varying opinions on how they should do it, but from a board perspective, we have set parameters by the district administration from a budgetary standpoint that, they may have administratively chosen different things than what we as board may have liked or not liked for them to do. They have met those parameters in which the board has established. I would like to see a decision made tonight. I will fully support and promote whatever the decision is, whether it's fully pulling it and saying, we as a board aren't comfortable and are not going to move forward because we are going to give a bad message to the public saying, we can't even amongst the six of us decide what's best, or we fully support one single decision wholeheartedly. We go out there and advocate for it. We educate. We support whatever that decision is. So I would like to still have a singular motion tonight, whether it is whatever option this board chooses to do, and not make it a divided vote, because I think that this is an important question that we need to be unanimous on, personally. If you guys feel otherwise, this is the meeting of the board, and we can choose to divide the questions up, and people can vote independently, as our right is, as board members. But I just caution, what message are we giving if we're choosing individual votes that may not be unanimous?
You bring up very valid concerns. You do. I thought about that today as well, because we should be unanimous, but you know, again, there's some challenges depending on who we interact with too. And even interacting in the same circle, you get mixed messages on things.
Kind of just interject. And I think that's the reason we let them decide. I mean, this is, we're not going and saying, you have to say yes. I want to know what they think, and I want them to tell us in no uncertain terms. A vote is a whole different ballgame than a survey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's them saying, too much, you're not doing enough, turn over more rocks, you know, we can't afford it, or yes, our kids, we want all of these programs intact, we understand the situation, we're willing to tighten our belts to help out the schools, and it's in no uncertain terms then. And that's why it's designed to be a vote, so six
mm-hmm.
people can't be sitting up here imposing this on a community. It's designed so that everyone has a voice.
I agree with you, but I mean, I could make the same argument for the 285 too. I mean, you can make the same argument for any dollar amount out there.
But if we go with 285, then some of those cuts that people didn't want to take place will take place.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they have the 435, then they have the option to go higher, or 433, I mean, then they have the option to go higher. If we only offer the 285, they don't have an option. And then we can go back a year later, if the answer is no, at the 285.
Remember, Jane spoke to it. There's no guarantees. I mean, we speak on classroom sizes. You know, I struggle being held to that because I don't, you know, I don't know if we can meet that request.
But the 433 wasn't, we didn't have to mandate that it was going to even reduce class sizes. I mean, that was part of the discussion that we, do we have that piece in there saying we do? Do we have the 433 with this, with the thought that, you know, if we aren't mandating that we have to decrease class size by one, I mean, it, all of those factors are in there. And I think it's, they're all, we could debate this for another year. And I, that's, I just, we as a board, I feel like, need to come to a consensus tonight on what we're going to move forward on with the agreement, regardless of what it is. We are unanimous in that decision and then support it wholeheartedly. And that's what we've heard over and over and over again. If you're going out to the public for these sorts of things, that a unanimous board is really the only way that these get passed.
And regardless of the decision, if it's the 285 or the 433, we have to then, from that point on, be supportive of it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to advocate. We have to support the district. We have to support each other, even if it's not what we wanted.
Madam Chair, that was leading to my question. What does a yes vote mean tonight? As a member of the board and as of the community, I know that in proposing a levy referendum to the community, I know that there are certain obligations by state law that the district must uphold. And I would assume that board members are held to those same standards. I'm curious what their next, what the next step would be if we were to go forward with the vote, unanimous, we have a unanimous vote, goes forward. What are the board members' obligations tonight going forward?
But can you clarify what you're referring to?
I know that as a district, there are legal requirements in terms of how a levy can be proposed to the community. Based on the district needs to promote, correct me if I'm wrong, but the district needs to promote the fact and not the selling argument to it. Are board members held by those same requirements?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would recommend MSBA has a video that we can all watch. It would probably be a good thing that after we would vote, that we would watch that video as to what our obligations are and what we can and cannot do. But from my understanding is that we can do what we would do as a private citizen. So if we want to get out there and be an advocate for this, we can. If we want to remain silent and let this totally be up to the public, we can. You know, so we don't have any obligation to go out there and door knock or campaign or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's up to the individual and what they would do otherwise. And I think that...
That's correct. And when you're in your role as a school board member, then you have the information that we all provided for you. So you can't have other information. You would use the information that we give you as an important part. The one time I've ever heard of anybody getting in trouble was when board members who had their own information and not using the districts. Other than that, or on your time, yes. You on your time as a board member, you can't ask someone to vote yes. And that's really not your role as a board after this. And you know why I have the floor? I do have to. So one of the most important jobs, and really what reason we have a school board, is for governance. There's no one else that governs the school district. I don't govern the school district. You're the governance part of the school district. Really, truly, big picture, what is best long-term for not just your school district, but also the community? And one of the things that we really struggle with in Farmington that has to change the equation, even if it means doing something tough, really tough right now, is this imbalance where we are not spending too much. We are spending some of the least as a school district of taxpayer monies of any school district in the state, but it costs more money from our taxpayers than just about anyone in the state. That's the imbalance. And as long as our community keeps kind of its own, the format that it is now, that is going to be true. You know, and this is going to add, what, 5% to what a person's, you know, what they pay on their home for their taxes. So if you think about what that gets, though, the only way this equation changes is if our community starts to attract people, starts to attract business, starts to attract industry. If this, the more and more that happens, the more everyone's tax burden goes down because it gets shifted. And so one of the things that does that better than anything else is when people are really excited about your school district. People move companies to places because they hear about you know, how good that school district is. People know that they can get workers because they want to be part of that school district. So one of the things we are kind of, you're kind of voting on tonight is giving an opportunity to your community to keep some really great excitement going in your school district and maybe even build on it. Somehow that equation has to change. We are never going to lower taxes enough where we're not going to be the highest. We don't have that ability. It's like, that's taken from us, now what can we do? And so if we can build enough excitement in our school district, we can be part of changing the equation for our community so future generations won't really have to deal with this. And they will look back to you. They will look back and say, hey, remember, you know, kind of remember when this started. So.
And to comment on that, the worst bad press that you can have as a school district is to be cutting, 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 cutting.